All right, so we're continuing through the life of David, and we're at the beginning of his life. And because this section was like so long with like 40 verses, I'm not going to read through it as we go through it, but because we all read it pretty in depth, we know what it's like. So we're going to continue through the life of David. Now, how many of you have ever felt like outnumbered in your life or like, I'm going to lose, there's no way I can do this, whether it's sports, life, marriage, kids, job, I mean, you name it, right? Most people's hands went up. Well, when I was in Mexico several years ago doing an internship in the summer, we went out and played paintball. And we were out like this like random wilderness. We had our paintball guns, our masks and everything. And I was going through, I was on obviously one of the teams, one of the two teams. And I was sitting there and there were two people on the far side behind this berm, like planted. And they were like waiting. And I pulled my trigger and guess what happened? I was out of ammo. And I was like, dang, I'm out of ammo. I'm not putting rocks in it. I'm not doing that, I'm not that guy. But I'm like, all right, I have no ammo. But how do I win? Like, how do I actually end this game where we win? And so what I did is I went, like, I took a super long route and I went way, way, way around them to where they probably couldn't see me or couldn't hit me. And I was like, I got one shot at this with no ammo. I said, if I can get in their like berm, like there where they had, where they were behind in like this little pit area, and I can get and jump at them and scare them enough and yell in Spanish, surrender, and they don't shoot me, but they put up their paintball guns, then we win. Because they were the last two people. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try it. So I made my way around. And for some reason, they didn't see me because maybe they were like loaded someone else, whatever. But I got in there and I yelled in Spanish, surrender. And I pointed my paintball gun at them. And they turned around and they put up their guns. And I'm like, I'm so glad they put up their guns because that could have been very, very painful. Because imagine, yeah, they would have like unloaded like 10 rounds at me like right there, point blank. I don't know if you play paintball, but it hurts sometimes when you get hit, especially when you're really close. So that was one of the times in my life where I felt like outnumbered. I literally had no ammo, but yet there's always a way. And I don't know if I prayed or God gave me favor to win, but we'll look at David's life as we go through. So when you look at David's life, verses 16 through 31, we see God setting up this whole scene of what's going on. And so we had Goliath was out there. Did you notice that he was out there for 40 days that he was taunting Israel? So this number 40 in the scripture is super important. Because remember, 40 is all the way through scripture. And so when we think about the number 40, it's a time of testing, refining, and cleansing, and preparation. Now, how many of y'all have felt like you've been through 40 days before or you're in 40 days? Yeah, right? And so recognize that when we're in this 40-day season, whether it is literally 40 days or symbolic of, there's actually great purpose. Because when Goliath was out there taunting for 40 days, do you know what it was doing? Goliath was actually preparing the king and all Israel for to say, all right, David's our last shot. Let's send this dude out, right? And what do you think God was doing in David's life for 40 days? He was probably actually preparing him for what was coming up. So when you think about like, I just want God to come through for me right now. God's plan is actually more of an extended time because God has purpose in the time of waiting to often form us and prepare us for that breakthrough that he has. So Jesse sends David to the larger context that God is arranging. And so we can see that we can trust in God's divine arrangements for our lives. So God is going to be divinely arranging your life with people, circumstances, situations that are fully outside of your control. But he wants to actually set you up for his will in your life. And so when we're waiting on God, because I know some of us are in like a waiting season, when you wait, it doesn't mean you're stagnant. So when you wait, it doesn't mean you're stagnant. It means you're actively waiting. So remember when David got anointed as king and he's a shepherd and it said Samuel left to Ramah and David stayed there. You're like, David's like, why don't you anoint me as king? And you leave and I'm going back to the shepherd's field. Think about all the preparation and formation that was happening inside David in his life. So he's being prepared to be king. And if you think about when he was anointed and then when this battle took place, he talks about later how he had killed the lion and the bear prior. You think God was training him, sending those lions and bears, right? Who sent the lions and bears? God probably sent him so he could learn how to kill a lion and bear for what was coming up in his life. So when you're in a season of waiting, you got to be actively waiting, meaning that God is training you for your breakthrough for what's coming. Because if you just sit there and you're stagnant like a couch potato, like, you're going to be that couch potato. You're going to put down some roots in that couch, right? God wants you to actively wait by taking ownership for your life. So David shows up and he encounters Goliath. Did you notice the two responses that took place? What was the response of the soldiers? What did they do? Anyone remember? They were fearful and they ran away. So there are these soldiers, right? They're supposed to be out there ready for battle. And then you're like, these are like my top dudes supposed to be fighting the war. And they run away when this giant guy comes out with all this armor and a huge sword. How many of y'all ever been to a Great Wolf Lodge? Okay, a few people. So it's like an indoor water park. They have this one where you step into like this tube and then the bottom falls out and you drop down. I don't know if you've seen it. Okay, so I saw it and I was like, no way am I doing that thing. And I was actually fearful. So I'm at the bottom on like another slide that had come down, but that the bottom of that slide's on the other side. And guess who I see get up at the end? A little kid, yes, like an 8 or 9 year old girl. And I was like, oh my gosh, if she can do this. And then the next time, guess who I saw get out? This older lady who was like 60 or 65. And I was like, man, I'm like 38. I should be able to do this. So instead of being fearful, I finally went up there and they dropped me through. And it was like, oh my gosh, don't forget to hold your nose if you do it. Because they did not tell me to do that. So I had this fear response. But then when I said, okay, other people can do it, I can do it, which was David's response, right? He had God's perspective. God's perspective was this giant of a different people is defying God's armies. He's actually defying God. And so David's response was, hey, why are you defying the armies of the living God? So we have to ask the question, how was David able to respond this way? Think back again, where was he before the 40 days? He was in the field with God. So if he's spending time with God consistently, whether it's like he takes time away just to be alone, but then as he's with the sheep, as he does his daily life, he's still connected with God. He's supercharged when he walks in because he's been connected with God that whole time. So he has God's perspective on the situation. Moreover, it comes down to this. It comes down to identity. David knew who he was and who he belonged to, right? He says, I'm God. I'm with God. And God is with me. So whatever I step into, he's going to be with me as I'm stepping into his will. So for us, the more you spend time with God in the field, right, like David did, you spend time with Jesus, you get in his word, you spend time in prayer, you spend time in worship and fasting and sharing and generosity, that's going to supercharge you and connect you with God so that when you step into your Goliath, guess what you're going to do? Why are you defying Jesus? The other thing is we have to know who God says we are. Right? Man, if you just watch like TV or you just listen to people who don't know Jesus, the negativity that is in people's minds and comes out of their mouths about themselves and other people, that's like normal. And so if you're thinking, man, I'm worthless, I'm a piece of you name it, like I can't do anything right, like I'm a loser, like all these things that the narratives of Satan in the world and the flesh try and throw at you, when you face Goliath, what do you think is going to come into your head? Goliath taunts. But if you know that God says, hey, you're a daughter of God, you're a son of the Heavenly Father, you're worthy, you're loved, you're accepted, you can do this, Jesus is with you, like you're gonna overcome. The cross and the resurrection has already brought victory. I mean, you hear those thoughts going through your head. So when you face Goliath, it's gonna be, all right, you're going down, I'm gonna cut off your head. So who God says you are and your identity in him is super important, knowing that you're loved completely by God no matter what. So you have to ask this question. What's the giant in your life? What's the giant in your life? So we all got a giant in one season or another. This could be a situation with your child. This could be personal mental health. It could be employment dynamics. It could be marriage issues. I mean, it could be financial issues. You name it, right? Family issue. It could be whatever that is. But we all have a giant in our journey. What is that giant for you? And so think of that giant right now. And this will be a little bit of like a kind of a test, like a science test. Think of your giant. What's your first emotional response inside when you think of your giant? Are you afraid of your giant? Or do you have trust in Jesus? And so that's going to give you a kind of a good test of like where you're at right now. Do you need to go back in that field and prepare to face your giant? What does that look like for you? So here's the thing that's super important to recognize. We can trust in God and his process, or we can turn to fear and insufficiency. But behind every giant is a reward. So for David, there was a lot of money, and there was God's reward of his future becoming king. So when you think about your giant, if you're going to turn and run for your giant, from your giant in your life, that giant is going to keep everything that he has in bondage, keeping it away from you. But if you go and you do it God's way and take down your giant, you get everything that that giant has that God will give you as a reward. So if you think about the things I named earlier, like child situation, personal mental health, employment dynamics, marriage, financial issues, personal issues, whatever it is, you can stay in bondage your whole life. Literally. You can stay in bondage your entire life. It's until you face your Goliath, and that through Jesus you take that Goliath down, you will receive the reward of your child being set free, you having peace of mind and heart, you having peace in your work environment, you having peace in your marriage, your finances come into alignment with God's design, right? All these things that God has for you, you have to do it God's way and what he wants you to do. Jesus talks about in Matthew 12, 29, he talks about binding the strong man before you can loot the strong man's house. So he's talking about is the demonic powers that hold people in bondage. And it's until you take, you bind up that strong man and you win the spiritual battle, you can't take what's behind it. So there's also a spiritual battle that we fight. So you have to ask this question. What's the, yeah, Nate. Yeah, that is Matthew 12, 29. Yeah, Matthew 12, 29. So we have to think about what's the reward behind your giant. Jesus has fullness of life, and he wants you to have fullness of life. John 10, 10. Conversely, Satan comes into your life to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he wants to do, is steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has life. So you can go the way of Goliath and submit to him, or you can go the way of Jesus and walk in victory through him. So what do you need to take down? What do you need to take down your giant? What do you need in your life to take down your giant? And this often comes with obedience. You have to do what Jesus says to do, because David did it God's way and got God's results. And I think one of the biggest things that keeps us from taking down our giants is excuses. We can come up with a million excuses of why we don't want to do it, but that's one of those words that Goliath is saying at you as you're coming towards him. Not only was Goliath doing all this stuff, did you notice that his oldest brother, Eliab, he had some words to say too to David? Man, you know what that represents? I mean, it was in his life and represents to us is discouragement, doubt, and insecurity. That is what Eliab was saying to his brother. I'm going to discourage you. I'm going to create doubt, and I'm going to cause you to be insecure. Is anybody familiar with those types of thoughts and feelings? Man, those hit me. So here's a story for you. The first 6 months when Meredith and I, we all started Up and Rich at the other park, I kid you not, the first 6 months, every Sunday morning we would wake up. Why are we doing this? This is worthless. This isn't worth our time. This thing's never going to go anywhere. Like, this is so dumb. Like, are people even going to show up today? Like all the, it was 6 months. You know what that was? That was the Goliath. It was standing against us. It was a spiritual Goliath in our city. And if we would have just packed our bags, I would have went back into higher ed, got a good job back and salary and all that stuff. That would have been great, but I would have walked away from God's reward. But now at this point, we've planted 3 churches, right? So if we wouldn't have taken down the Goliath by keep coming to that battle line until God gave us the breakthrough, we wouldn't have what he's doing today. So David's response is he didn't get caught up in the distractions of his brother. He responded with wisdom, and you know what he did? He kept walking forward. So when you get hit with discouragement, down insecurity, you respond with wisdom, and then you just move on with your life. And don't let that stuff grab a hold of you. And then we move down to the next section where David gets called by the king. King's hearing all these things going on. The king says, hey, bring me that guy. I want to talk to him. So David says, I can do this. The king says, no, you can't do this. Well, David's like, let me tell you a little bit. Those big old bears and those big old lions that are out trying to eat all of our sheep and people and stuff out in the wilderness, I've killed a few of those. I took my club and I went and I bashed his head in. So David was actually being trained by God behind the scenes so that when he stepped with Goliath, he was ready. He met at the bar of Goliath. But if you think about, like, man, if he didn't kill those bears and lions, could he have stepped up with Goliath? So God uses these different situations in David's life to actually prepare him so when he steps up with Goliath, he is fully ready to take down Goliath. So you have to think about this. How does God train you to fight your Goliath? How does God train you to fight your Goliath? It is the everyday stuff in your life. It's the everyday stuff. I know a lot of us have kids or will have kids in the future here. I mean, could you, all the things that your kids do that like frustrate you or make you want to do something you probably shouldn't do, and you're like that. God's actually training you in patience and love. Because when you start discipling people life on life, I mean, sometimes they're like those little kids are doing things. You're like, why are you doing what you're doing, right? And you're like, okay, I've learned how to be so patient with my kids and love them. Jesus loves this person like a little kid. I can be patient too. If they don't show up or don't respond, like all these things, right? Or they keep making these decisions, you're like, what are you doing? Right? So God is actually using these little mundane things. You're like, this is just everyday life. But he's actually training you to fight your Goliath. And so as you face situations at your job, with your kids, with your spouse, with people in your life, family members, like car situations, you name it, that's actually all training ground for your life of how God is training you. So if you respond with how God wants you to respond to those, you continue to grow forward in God's design for your life so that you can take down your Goliaths when they show up. Because David was ready when Goliath was there, right? And so you can either show up like the other warriors who weren't ready to take down Goliath, or you can show up like David who's ready to take down Goliath. It all depends on how we receive God's training in our lives. This is a personal thought. I actually think that Saul abdicated his responsibility to fight Goliath. Saul was one of the best warriors in all of Israel. And when he was selected as king, when he stood up, it said he was a head taller than everyone else. So he was like, he was a huge dude. He wasn't a giant, but he was a big dude. Kind of like Josh is a really tall guy. He's like a mini giant over there, right? So Saul should have been the one to go out the war. He should have killed that dude. Saul was probably one of the best warriors in all of Israel, but he abdicated. And so you have to fight the battles in your roles of influence, or you abdicate and you lose your reward. Because if Saul would have went out there and done his job and killed Goliath, which if he would have said, yeah, I trust in the God of Israel, and he would have went out, guess what would have happened? The God of Israel would have killed Goliath with him. And you know what he would have got? More fame, more honor, more wealth. But guess what happened? He abdicated. David went out and did it. Guess what happened when David got more honor, more wealth, and more fame? We'll read it later, but Saul gets jealous and he tries to kill David. So if you abdicate what God asks you to do, someone else will get your reward. But God wants you to have your reward, but you got to do it his way. And did you notice that Saul's armor didn't fit David? I don't know if you've ever done this, like you put like adult clothes on a little kid and they're like walking around all funny. That's probably how it was for David. Remember, David was pretty small still. I mean, probably isn't like a teenager in there-ish, maybe plus or minus. And Saul was this huge dude. So his armor probably like went down to his knees, like that, the top part, right? And so it didn't fit. Here's what it says to us. You have to be who God made you to be rather than another person, right? Because you're not me, I'm not you, you're not that like pretty amazing person sitting next to you. Like God has made you, you. And so you gotta be you as you fight your Goliaths, right? There are biblical principles of how we all fight in the kingdom of God, right? So prayer, fasting, worship, the word, obedience, service, I could go on and on. But it looks different for us as we apply it to our lives, because God will work uniquely through your personality and your gift set and your history and who you are, who he has made you to be in your context. And so you be you and you win God's way. But if you try and be like someone else and try and do things like someone else, you're gonna get those results. So David goes how God trained him, and that's how he moves forward. So David's choice of weaponry was some stones, a staff, and a sling. And that's how he went out to face Goliath, who had this huge shield and a huge sword and his armor bearer with him and this huge army behind him. One of our friends recently, she had texted us and she told us this dream. She was asking for help with interpretation with a dream. And in the dream, she was like in this big place. I'm just cutting out a lot of details. This big place, and she was with some people. But all these people started coming in with guns to kill all the people and to kill her. And what she started doing in the dream is she started worshiping, she started dancing, and she started praying in the spirit. And when everybody else is getting shot, you know what happened to her? She didn't get shot, and she was able to escape. And so when we helped her interpret, we helped her understand, like, this is what spiritual warfare looks like in your life. The enemy's going to come at you to steal, kill, and destroy. But God didn't say, go get your gun and shoot them. And in the dream, it was she worshiped, she danced and prayed, and then she prayed in the spirit. And that's what actually brought her victory. So it's the weapons of this world will never work in spiritual warfare. You have to use God's spiritual weapons to get your spiritual victory. So we have to choose God's weapons for our battle. And then notice this. David moved toward Goliath. He moved towards him. Everybody else ran away. And so when the day of decision comes for your life, you have to make the choice for yourself. Are you going to move towards Goliath and take it down, whatever that is symbolically for you? Or are you going to allow it to still control your life and keep you in bondage, and you're going to continue to run away? So that's the day of decision. So when we look at the final verses here, did you notice Goliath's tactics of what he did? He intimidated and he cursed. So he intimidated and he cursed. And this is what Satan does all the time. He's going to try and intimidate you to get you backed into a corner and huddled up and, you know, all on your own, like, I can't do this. And he's going to curse you. He's going to say horrible words to your mind. He's going to say them to your heart. And he's going to curse and say these really bad things to try and get you to believe lies about yourself and about God. But David responded with identity and God's role. He did it again. So here's this theme, because this is really important to catch on. He responded with his identity, being in, under God and in God's army. And God's role was, God's going to kill you and I'm going to cut off your head. So David, you hear this? Catch this. He spoke truth into his situation. He spoke the truth of who God is, and he spoke the truth of his identity. And so he stepped into it. And not only did he move toward Goliath, the second time the scriptures talk about what David did, it says that he ran quickly toward Goliath. So David was all in. He was committed. He was not going to allow this thing to run his life or to run Israel, because he knew who his God was. Did you notice this? That David, he still had to fight. Like, God just didn't drop a lightning bolt on Goliath and kill him. Like, David actually had to fight. He had to go into the ring, but God gave the victory. So as David fought Goliath, God came alongside David with grace and gave him the ability to have the victory. And David trained well. He was so skilled, right? He took that sling and the stone. Imagine how many times he threw that thing before he stepped into that battlefield. I've been thousands of times. And I had a cool fact over here from Aaron. He watched this YouTube video, which he said he's going to send me. This dude was throwing a rock with a sling, and he said it even can break the sound barrier in terms of how fast it can go. So imagine if you get a rock that fast and you can pinpoint accuracy on that thing and you can hit Goliath in the head. I mean, that's going to bust his skull, which is what happened, right? So it hits him there and takes him out. And then did you notice what David said? This is huge. The battle is the Lord's, and he, speaking to Goliath, will give you to us. David was still fighting in the battle, but he said the battle is the Lord's. So it's all about understanding perspective. As you fight in battle, recognizing it's God's battle, he's given me grace to fight in his battle, and I will have victory because Jesus will hand over this Goliath. So he took one stone and he chucked it. And David did exactly what he said he would do. He said, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to go cut off your head. So he hits him, falls down. Could you imagine how big that sword must have been if Goliath was holding that sword? It might have been almost as long as David. David, he was buff, so he had worked out too. He did his military calisthenics. He picked up that sword and he chopped off that dude's head. Do you imagine how many pounds his head must have weighed? I mean, that must have been a 10-pounder, like a bowling ball, right? Maybe 15. And then he took the head. He picked up that big old head. You know what everyone else did? The Philistines ran away, and then the Israelites, army of God, ran towards the battle and started winning. So, y'all notice I got this big old black bin with the yellow top. There's always something in it. And I don't think anyone's guessed it by far, but you might be able to guess this one. So what we're going to do is, while I prep this thing, I want you to really take a moment and think about, what is the Goliath in your life? What is the Goliath in your life? And I want you to talk with Jesus about your Goliath and hear what he has to say to you. We all got a Goliath, right? Whether it's now or he's going to come in 40 days. And we all have to make that choice. Are we going to stand in Jesus? We're going to remember our identity, who he says we are, and who he says he is, and what he's going to do. And are we going to go and pick up those smooth stones, and we're going to go into battle? We're going to move towards him, and then we're going to run. Or are we going to run away from the battle? So it all comes down to this. It all comes down to choice and decision. Is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about your Goliath? I can guarantee you that if you do it Jesus's way, you'll win. It's guaranteed. He's already done it on the cross and through the resurrection. We just have to be obedient to him with his guidance for our lives. So this bucket here and these smooth stones with the water, it's symbolic of what David did. He went to the stream and he picked out five smooth stones. I'll just ask you to do one. Just, I don't think we have enough for everyone to grab five. But one will be good enough for your Goliath. When you're ready, I invite you, once you have that Goliath, you know what it is, or if you don't have one right now and a Goliath will come, make that decision in your heart. All right, Jesus, I'm going to move towards you and I'm going to go pick up a stone, right? Because David had to make the choice to go get a stone, which then started the whole process of his victory over Goliath. I'm going to invite you to come and pick out whatever stone best connects with you. And I want you to keep that stone, because that stone will be symbolic of the Goliath that you will slay because Jesus is with you and you will cut off its head. So I invite you, whenever you're ready, to come pick out a stone from the water. So as you hold this rock in your hand, I just want you, I'm gonna invite you to pray silently to Jesus. Talk with Jesus about your Goliath and dedicate this rock to him as the victory that he wants to bring in your life. When you're ready, I'm going to invite you to do two more things. So this rock is symbolic of action, right? You got to take action just like David took action. That's our step of obedience. So I'm going to invite you to write down your phone or paper. Write down your step of obedience that you'll take stepping towards your Goliath with this rock. And then who's the one person you'll share with what you learned today? So go ahead and write that down. And after you write that down, share that with the person next to you. And the reason why we do the sharing piece is because there's a research on this if you want to nerd out, that we're more likely to follow through when we write it down and when we share it with someone. So as you wrap up, you can share that with the person next to you. We have a ton of rocks left over. So if you're a parent and you want to take enough for your kids, and you can read that story with them later and give them that rock as well, I would encourage you to please do that. Or if you have like a family member or a friend or someone else too that you want to like share with, take a rock for them. And then you, when you meet with them or talk with them, you could share the story or you could read it with them and you could talk about your life and you can give them that rock as well. So I totally invite you to take a couple extra rocks. And now that our rocks are dry, they were wet originally. There are some pens here that Meredith gave me that said that they work on rocks to write on. If there is a word that is like the opposite of your Goliath, like if you feel like you're in bondage somewhere and you want to write freedom, you're welcome to write a word on there. Or if you just want to keep it like a regular rock, you can do that too. But let me pray for us as we wrap up. Jesus, we're so grateful. Thank you for this time to gather in your name. Thank you for our kids who are learning about prayer today. Thank you that we're learning about more, Jesus, of who you are, and that in and through you that all of our Goliaths will fall. And so I pray, Jesus, for every person here who's named that Goliath in their heart. Jesus, I pray that you would train them, that you would direct their path, you would give them your weapons, and that they would slay their Goliath and they would cut off its head. And Jesus, that you'd bring deliverance, healing, freedom, provision, and transformation for everyone here that needs that from you. And I pray, Jesus, that just like David is doing as a king, he actually trained other warriors who were named as mighty men. I pray that you would use people here to raise up other warriors as they give these rocks to others and tell them about your greatness and your goodness in the life of David and in their lives. So would you put a special grace on these rocks to encourage us and to help us to walk in the victory, Jesus, you paid for on the cross through your blood and through your resurrection. And that we not only slay our Goliath, but we would get all the reward that is behind that Goliath. So Jesus, as we step into this week, would you continue to use us as warriors to help set others free? Whether it's a word of encouragement or helping people out with something or sharing about you or praying with someone or giving out a Bible, whatever it is. And would you use us for your kingdom and your gospel this week? We pray for those divine appointments for all of us. And Jesus, we ask that you prepare the way with everything that we got going on, whether it's with work or with family or school or everything else in between. We thank you that you are with us in all things, that you walk with us every step of the way, and you will show us every step of the way as well. Would you assign your angels to us, to our families and our loved ones, to protect and guard us on our paths and to lead us into your perfect will. So we ask that you fill us with your spirit and that you give us your power to be obedient to you, Jesus, from a heart posture of love as sons and daughters of the King. In Jesus' name, amen.